Daniel chapter 10, there's no 21, verse 21. Daniel chapter 10, verse number 21. As we prepare our hearts to witness a baptismal service, I'd like to share a few thoughts with you, beginning with here in verse number 21, Daniel chapter 10. Verse number 21. Verse 21 reads, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince." Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we're so thankful that we can sing of the wonderful words of life. And we are thankful for this time of worship this morning. We're thankful for this service. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here, the well-being to be here. And we pray, O God, as we spend these few moments within your eternal word, the scriptures of truth, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and be our guide. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need spiritually. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The book of Daniel within the Old Testament has a lot to say about future prophecy, especially in relation to the nation of Israel. You'll note then verse number 14, please. It reads, "Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall or happen to thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." So God made it very evident to his people through the prophet Daniel that he had a very special plan for them and that God was at work. And we also see within this chapter that God reveals his affection for Daniel the prophet. Note then verse number 11. "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee." So as God reveals that which is yet to come concerning the nation of Israel, God said to Daniel, "You are greatly beloved. I love you. And I want you to understand the words that I am going to reveal to you, unveil to you." And God tells Daniel as he experiences this vision, "Daniel, I don't want you to be afraid as I reveal to you what will take place." Note there in verse number 19, please, of Daniel chapter 10, it reads, "And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto him, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." So God tells Daniel the prophet, "Don't be afraid of what I'm about to reveal to you. I want you to be at peace because I want to give you an understanding of truth." And then we read the chapter concludes with verse number 21 that we've just read. And God tells Daniel that "I am making known to you that which is true." Look at verse number 21, please, once again. It reads, "And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." So God tells Daniel, what I'm about to reveal to you is true. It is truth. It will come to pass. And God affirms to the prophet Daniel that the scriptures are true. You don't need to be afraid. Be at peace. I will give you understanding, for the scriptures are true. The scriptures are true. As a church family, our yearly theme this year centers upon the challenge to study the Word of God. And church family, I'd like to encourage you this morning concerning the fact that we study the scriptures which are true. They are not false. They are not full of error. They are true. And as God unveiled to Daniel the prophet things that are to come to pass concerning his own people, God said to Daniel, "Don't be afraid. Be at peace. What I'm about to reveal to you, they are words of truth." And I love that little phrase then, verse 21. The scripture of truth. The scripture of truth. What is truth? What is truth? It was Pilate, as the Lord Jesus stood before him, who asked the question, "What is truth?" In John chapter 18, verse 38. Pilate wanted to know, in dealing with the accusations against the Lord Jesus, what is really true? What is truth? Are you really wanting to know that which is true? See, God said to Daniel, "I'm going to unveil to you things that are going to come to pass concerning your people. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. I will give you understanding because I will unveil to you the scripture of truth." What is truth? Well, the Bible is truth. Because as it reads in verse number 21, the scripture of truth. The word scripture is one of a number of words in reference to the precious Word of God, the scriptures, the holy scriptures. And God said to Daniel, "I'm going to show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. I'm going to reveal truth contained within the scriptures." The Bible, otherwise known as the Holy Scriptures, is truth. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 14:6. "No man comes unto the Father except by me." And God said to Daniel, "The Scriptures are true, and I'm going to make known unto you that which is true, the scripture of truth." What is truth? The Bible is true. But as God challenged Daniel, I'd like to challenge you this morning. Will you believe the truth of the scripture? Will you choose to believe the trueness, the truth of the scriptures? See, God said to Daniel, "I'm going to give you understanding." Verse 14, "Now I come to make thee understand." I will give you that understanding. But Daniel, I want you to believe the scripture of truth. Don't be afraid, be at peace, I will give you understanding, I want you to believe the truth. I will show you the scripture of truth. See, what is truth? For those of us that are Bible-believing Christians, we believe the Word of God is truth. We choose to believe that fact because that's what it is, it's the scripture of truth. The Word of God is true. But my challenge to you this morning, will you choose to believe the truth contained within the Scriptures? And God, via vision, challenged Daniel, "I'm going to reveal to you the Scripture of truth, and I'm going to give you an understanding, and I want you to choose, Daniel, to believe what will come to pass concerning your people, because it is truth. It is the scripture of truth. Let me ask you this morning, will you choose to believe the truth of the scriptures? Go to John chapter 2, please, in the New Testament. We see an example of belief here. So where do we find truth? We find it within the scriptures, God's word, which centers on the person and work of Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth." Note there in the Gospel of John, please, chapter 2. In verse number 11, following our Lord's first miracle that he performs, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse number 11, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Now look at verse number 22, please, in the same chapter. John 2:22. "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." See, the disciples made a deliberate decision to believe the scriptures, to believe the truth. They made a free will choice to believe the words of Jesus Christ from the scriptures as truth. And so likewise, we can choose to believe or reject the truth. It's really up to you. And God said to Daniel, "I'm going to reveal to you that which is going to come to pass concerning the nation of Israel. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. I will give you understanding. It is the scripture of truth." So God was challenging Daniel to believe truth contained within the scriptures. Will you choose to believe the truth contained within the scriptures? God said to Daniel, "I want you to believe the truth from the scriptures that I am making known unto you." Do you thirst for truth? Turn to John, please, chapter 7. A couple of pages over, the Gospel of John, chapter 7. In verses 37, please, and 38. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. "Do you thirst for that which is true? The world is full of lies. Talk to me." Yes, it is. It's full of lies. You know, it's a proven scientific fact that you can't trust most mechanics, let alone a solicitor, let alone a suit salesman. The world is full of lies. My friend, the scriptures are full of truth. This is the scripture of truth. Do you thirst for truth, that which is true? Note here in John chapter 7, please, verse number 37 and 38. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, from his inner being, shall flow rivers of living water." So this living water, this eternal life, is attainable within the pages of Holy Scripture. Because verse number 38 teaches, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said." God will reward those that believe truth with the living water of life eternal. My friend, this morning, will you choose to believe the truth of the Scriptures? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Church family, as we focus upon a study of the Scriptures, as we encourage one another to be students of the Word of God, I'd like to encourage you this morning, during the process of this sermonette, that we have before us the Scripture of truth. This is true. And we need to choose to believe the truth contained within the Word of God. Note here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Note there verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures, the Scriptures. Within the Scriptures, we find truth. Within the Scriptures, we find the truth of the gospel. Within the Scriptures, we have the truth of the gospel, which is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and on day number 3, he rose again from the dead. That is truth. That is truth. Will you choose to believe the truth of the Scriptures? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The disciples chose to believe the truth of Scripture. Daniel was challenged to believe the truth of the Scripture. My friend, this morning, will you choose to believe the truth of Scripture? Will you choose to believe the truth of the gospel? See, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, listen carefully. But the Scripture of what? Truth. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. The Scripture of what? The Scripture of truth hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Will you choose to believe the truth of the Scriptures? Will you humbly admit before a holy God that you are under the condemnation of sin, and the only remedy for sin is found in Jesus Christ? See, that's the wonderful truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on day number 3, he arose bodily, visibly, and personally from the grave. That is truth, the Scripture of truth. Will you believe the Scripture of truth? And Christ died, was buried, and rose again to make payment for your sin, to make payment for my sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Application. Many of you might not know the name Thomas Barrett. Thomas Barrett was a 17-year-old convict that was part of the first fleet that landed in Sydney Harbour in 1788. Thomas Barrett, as a 17-year-old, was the first example of public hanging on Australian soil. And as he was being prepared to be hung, he announced before all that he had led a wicked life. He publicly declared it moments before he was publicly hung. The question was asked, how much wickedness could a boy compress in that small span of life from birth? He had stolen butter, dried peas, and salted pork at Sydney Cove. And he was facing the death penalty. He was a wicked sinner. But you might say, oh, Pastor, that's cruel. He only stole some butter, some dried peas, a bit of salted pork. My friend, may I remind you that he broke one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Thomas Barrett was a thief, and he was paying the sentence, what he deserved for his sin. And the Bible teaches us in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, he that breaks one measure of the law is guilty of all. See, Thomas Barrett admitted, I'm a wicked man. I have lived a wicked life, and I'm about to be hung because of my wickedness. He was prepared to admit his sin. See, our problem is that often holds men, women, and children from believing the truth is that they will not believe the scripture of truth. See, God is holy, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, but Pastor, I'm not that bad. Well, the Bible teaches you are. The Bible teaches you are a rotten, filthy, wicked sinner before a holy God. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. To pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. Are we prepared to see our condition before a holy God like Thomas Barrett? To my knowledge, he did not ever become a Christian, but he is to be commended as the first man to be hung on Australian soil, a man that committed before all that were present there that I've lived a wicked life. I'm a sinner. And my friend, if you and I are to believe the scriptures of truth, we need to believe what God reveals to us about ourselves, that we need God's forgiveness. The scripture of truth. Are you prepared to believe the scripture of truth? See, the scriptures are proven to be true in many fulfilled prophecies, made years before their actual fulfillment. If you go to the book of Acts, please, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 28. To 31. A man of great authority from Ethiopia was making his way back to a place called Gaza. You've all heard of Gaza, I'm sure. The Gaza Strip, southwest. Yes, he was making his way back to Gaza from Jerusalem. And note then, verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this man of great authority from Ethiopia was making his way back to Gaza. He'd been in Jerusalem and he was reading the scriptures, the Bible teaches us. He was reading out of the book of Isaiah, one of the Old Testament books. Philip the evangelist asked him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" His response was, "How can I possibly have complete understanding unless somebody helped me? How can I possibly fully understand without guidance?" And with this invitation, Philip showed that the verses that this man was reading came out of Isaiah chapter 53 and were in reference to Jesus Christ. Note then verse number 35, "And Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." See, Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. See, the scriptures are true, my friend. And I'd like to challenge you to believe the scriptures which are true. And one of the means by which we as Bible-believing Christians have an assurance that the scriptures are true are the countless fulfilled prophecies that came true in the person of Jesus Christ. See, that Ethiopian was reading out of the Old Testament a book called the Book of Isaiah. Isaiah was written some 700 years before the coming of Christ. 700 years. And it made reference to a Messiah that would come. And as the Ethiopian was reading these scriptures, he was asking the question, "Of whom is this referring to?" And Philip said, "From the scriptures, it's in reference to Jesus Christ." These verses that were written some 700 years previously have been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is that Messiah. The scriptures are proven to be true in many fulfilled prophecies made years before their actual fulfillment. And he preached unto him Jesus, verse number 35. This Ethiopian, because of what he could see in the scriptures of truth, wanted to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 37. "As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?'" So obviously this man had been in Jerusalem. He'd seen Christians. He'd seen baptisms. He'd seen Christians get baptized. And he believed the scriptures. He believed that these verses in Isaiah are in reference to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And as they approached water, the Bible teaches us, the eunuch said to Philip, "Philip, what would hinder me from getting baptized? I'd like to get baptized. I believe in his head." But Philip said, "You need to believe in your heart." See, it's one thing to have a head knowledge of the truth. It's another thing to have a heart knowledge of the truth. Look at verse number 37. And if your Bible has this verse missing, you need a new Bible. It's as simple as that. Look at verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So this Ethiopian, there on that dusty road, making his way back to Gaza, believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He believed that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Beyond a head knowledge, he chose to apply that head knowledge with heart knowledge by openly confessing Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Philip said, "Yeah, I'll baptize you, but you need to believe in your heart." But you'll need to believe with your heart first. You'll need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ first and foremost. And upon his profession of faith in Jesus Christ, this Ethiopian, a man of great influence, of great wealth, the Bible teaches us that he worked for the queen of Ethiopia in verse number 27. This was no pauper. This was a very wealthy individual. To have a chariot in the biblical day was like owning a Porsche. Or better still, a Ferrari. Yeah, it was a mark of wealth. This was no pauper that lived on social welfare. This was a very wealthy, intelligent individual. And he was prepared to believe the truth. See, truth is not for dummies. Smart people believe truth. In fact, God tells us the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is a very intelligent individual that works for the queen of Ethiopia. This is no pauper here. And he chose to believe the scripture of truth. He believed the truth contained within the scriptures, and he confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior. And therefore we read there in verse 38, this is beautiful, look at this. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Note the wording there. They went down both into the water, and Philip baptized him. They went both down into the water. That's what the word baptism means. It means to immerse. It means to dip. No, it doesn't mean to sprinkle. It doesn't mean to pour a little bit of water on somebody's head. It means to immerse. Now, why is that such a big deal for Bible-believing Christians? Let me tell you why. Because it pictures the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. That's why the baptism you're about to witness this morning is a biblical baptism. Anything else that calls itself baptism is a distortion of the gospel. Because the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection. That's what the word baptism means. It means to immerse. Will you believe the scripture of truth? This man was prepared to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And upon that confession with his lips, this man was baptized. My friend, this morning, the scriptures are true. They are true. Church family, as we focus upon the theme of studying the scriptures, we are studying the scriptures which are true. The scripture of truth. God said to Daniel, this is the scripture of truth. I want you to believe the scripture of truth. Pastor, is the Bible believable? Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. Countless prophecies that have been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's one means that proves the scriptures are true. And this very wealthy individual that worked for the queen of Ethiopia believed the scriptures as truth and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And upon that confession, this man was baptized. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's the simplicity of baptism. Yes, the scriptures of truth are believable because of many fulfilled prophecies. And this is what impacted this religious Ethiopian to become a Christian. And down through history, people have openly declared their faith in Jesus Christ by biblical baptism. And we look forward to witnessing another example of this shortly. So, child of God, the scriptures are true. Let's believe the scriptures. Let's prove our belief in the scriptures by obeying the scripture of truth. And my friend, if you're here and you're not a Christian, the scriptures are true. Will you choose to believe the scriptures which are true? This is believable. And when you place your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you can enjoy God's forgiveness and that peace. And from your very being, as Jesus said, will flow rivers of living water. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.